So I am the only one in this room who is going to use this or its modern incarnation for doing BSM physics. I'm giving this talk, very brief talk, on summarizing what's going on in USQCD in the BSM group with a particular focus on the composite Higgs scenario. So that's the modern incarnation. So basically, USQCD BSM is trying to look either for new strong dynamics, the composite Goldstone-like Higgs, and the SUSY scenario. I will only flash one slide on SUSY because it's not the topic of this session, and I cannot do justice to it. So mostly composite. So the BSM group wrote a white paper where we summarized what we have done so far and plans for the future, and a new hardware proposal is submitted for the next 5 years. This is just a brief introduction to the groups. They come with very annoying acronyms like LSD, the Lattice Strong Dynamics. That's a very large group. That's the largest group by far. Then LHC, which is the Lattice Higgs Collaboration, SUSY group, and Boulder group, mainly developing tool sets and finite temperature studies, which Kogut and company are doing. So what is the rationale for composite BSM? We hear the voices that the light Higgs is found, nothing is seen below 1 TeV, so we don't need compositeness. And besides, how do you get a light Higgs from compositeness, which has been a long-standing problem? So the facts, I think, are that compositeness can produce a light Higgs scalar, and although nothing was seen at LHC 7-8, we don't know what will happen at LHC 14, and you will see from some examples I will choose that there are concrete predictions in concrete models where something interesting is going on in the 2 TeV region. So as I said earlier, we have three major directions. We have the strongly coupled near conformal gauge theory scenario, where you are trying to work downward, so to speak, to make a Higgs light consistent with everything else. Then we have the pseudo-Goldstone scenario, little Higgs-like, where you start from a scalar pseudo-Goldstone boson and you try to bring it up from zero to the desired value, and then we have the SUSY direction. So we are looking for the compositeness, and here is one example which I will detail a little bit more. This is a two-flavor model where the fermions are in the sextet representation, and then you have a scalar composite somewhere in the 400-500 GeV range, maybe lower, before you turn on the radiative corrections. Here you don't have a self energy for the scalar. It is included, of course, in the calculation, being UV complete before you turn on the fermion mass generation, which unfortunately leaves this model UV incomplete in that sense. But then the top loop dominates the downshift, whatever will turn on the fermion masses, and therefore the Higgs is lingering somewhere in this range. Now, how you do that, that's a highly non-trivial question, because a QCD-like strongly coupled gauge theory is not going to do anything like that. So that is the other bottom-up approach, the pseudo-Goldstone boson. I will only show one slide about it because this is not nearly as detailed in terms of simulation than the previous model, where a lot is coming in. And I just wanted to flash the old paradigm. So the idea would be that if somehow you make a theory nearly conform invariant, perhaps a Dilaton-like scenario will emerge, and with a light scalar, and obviously a two-flavor QCD, which does have in it the minimal Higgs mechanism, because you only have three Goldstone pions triggering it, is not going to do that job. So the question is, what do you do? So that is, you know, a limited theory space. We always stay in four dimension. I don't know how to do five-dimensional theories on the lattice. It's an interesting question on its own. Several groups started investigating it. So that is the theory space, flavor, color, and the representation. And now that's your two-flavor QCD. It's here, and that's where the conformal window begins. There's a mile separating two-flavor QCD from being merely conformal. And this is the only difference, that you put the fermions into the sextet color representation. Suddenly that model is at the edge of the conformal window. There is a very good argument from the simulations alone that it is below, just below the conformal window. So it is expected to be nearly conformal. So it's interesting to study its behavior. It's also useful to recall that it has to pass several criteria. We haven't checked everything, but it is a situation where you have a small beta function, chiral symmetry breaking, and a spectrum. Now, this would be the what you would call in QCD the A0 pseudoscalar or scalar. And it would have a mass which is about 1.5 TeV. How you set the scale, I will show it on the next slide. Now, when you include the annihilation diagrams, it has a tremendous downshift effect on the scalar spectrum. It's coming down. I am not showing you real data because we are still analyzing the data, but it will land somewhere in the 400-500 GeV range before you turn on the fermion mass generation. The scale is set by so you calculate f pi in the chiral limit, and that's what sets the scale. That fixes your coupling constant, and there is no additional parameter left because you are always in the chiral limit. So that sets the scale, that's the spectrum, and that's how it works. So this is the scenario I showed you earlier. So that is just one slide on the pseudo-Goldstone. I cannot do justice to it, but the group is studying, the LSD group, is SU2, where the fermions are in the real representation, and therefore the symmetry is broken to SP4. This is already verified in lattice simulations, but what kind of spectrum they get and how the two-scalar Goldstone is going to change once you turn on the top loop effect, that all remains to be seen how it works out. It's a big program which the LSD group is trying to do. That is the SUSY slide. I cannot do justice to it. And I'm sorry about that, but that's not the topic. And we have. I will just flash in the remaining 1 minute, maybe. Slides which show the tool set which the collaboration developed over the last few years, because it's a tremendously new and rich tool set. For example, the way we calculate the chiral condensate is not the old way of doing it, like measuring PBP, the condensate, and trying to extrapolate to the chiral limit. Instead, we calculate in a big finite box the Dirac spectrum, the low energy Dirac spectrum. The node number distribution is Renong group RG invariant in that distribution, so you can extract the renormalized condensate at an arbitrary scale which you can slide. So you can really look at the chiral condensate in the chiral limit, its anomalous dimension, and the rest. Just one example. Another example is the running coupling, which you can run with the volume. I believe the best way to do that is to study the gradient flow of the gauge field on the gauge configuration you generate. That's a beautiful, I would say, first implementation of the Wieson-type renormalization group when you look at the scale dependence of the running coupling. Then we can measure the S parameter. We can measure WW scattering on the lattice. through the equivalence theorem. And I just leave the summary slide up there in case you want to look at it. Thanks.
Questions?
Could I ask a quick question? Where is the white paper available?
The white paper is posted on the, it is linked on the USQCD website, but it is not posted yet on the archive.
Okay, but you will get it in the SNMMAS proceeding so we can...
I hope so. USQCD, the committee is under a big discussion whether we should post. We have four white papers on the four major areas. One of them is BSM, and I hope that everybody will agree that we can post it on the archive before you pick it up for the proceeding.
There's a lot of detail here.
A lot of details.
Okay.
Yes, it is a 40-page document,
yeah,
which sort of describes the details. Maybe not the most recent results, which I picked to show you, to poke you.
Anyone have a question?
Can you talk just about some of the technical challenges of implementing something like a pseudonymal Goldstone boson? You know, already in ordinary lattice QCD, you can't get to the, or it's hard to get to the physical pion mass. But here you're trying to expand around a situation where you're starting off with, you know, massless long wavelength modes. Can you talk about how you actually can approach that?
Yeah. So what they try to do, the LSD group, is to turn on, of course, kind of a four fermion interaction added to the model, and start from the other end, where in the simulation they already have that broken and lifted scenario that the mass is finite. And then their hope is that they can extrapolate that to the chiral limit, because they do it before without the chiral limit at finite fermion mass. It is technically not only tremendously challenging for the reasons you mentioned, but also the fermion determinant in that case is a Pfaffian, which doesn't have, you know, the right sign structure. So how to do the simulation right will be a challenge. But this group is absolutely set to do that model, as you know, because Rich keeps talking to you every day about the details. And Jesse is going to be on the advisory board of the whole USQCD operation, so you get a lot of advice and help from him.
Okay, let's thank the speaker again.